95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. It is Friday, which means at 5, we do our All Request Fest from 5 to 7. It is all requests for those 2 hours to get you ready for the weekend. We also have Michael Schneider from Variety coming in today to talk about the writer's strike and the best written TV shows and movies. And in a second, we're going to interview Wolfgang Van Halen. He'll be here in just a few. Right now, we're going to play the new song from Aaron Jones called Blood in the Water on KLOS. Wolfgang Van Halen, welcome to KLOS.
Thanks for having me.
How you been?
I've been busy, and that's good.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
We are here to talk about Mammoth 2.
Yeah.
Tell me about the difference between the first album and the second album.
I came into the second one with a lot more confidence. The first one, I was finding myself and what the project was, and mm-hmm. I didn't even know if I could be the singer, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it was my producer that really gave me the confidence. He's like, you got this. And so I was like, okay. And I think after, you know, 2 years of touring and working my voice and you know, working at the craft, so to speak, you know, with this album, I challenged myself a lot more. I think I did stuff with vocals that I wouldn't have been able to do in the first one. You know, I challenged myself with, you know, tougher guitar solos. There are more guitar solos on this album too. Like, it's just overall more aggressive, but at the same time, there's stuff that's a little bit softer. So I think it just kind of widened the breadth of what Mammoth is.
I don't mean to disagree with you, but I thought your vocals were great on the first album.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I was proud enough of it. I just wasn't sure initially if I could do it. You know, it was
sure
that the whole challenge of that first album was like, hey, can I do a thing where I play everything?
At what point did you start that thinking process?
Man,
I'm gonna have a band. I'm going to do everything.
It was funny. If you look back, I just remember this from an interview I had a couple days ago. In my bass player, I was on the cover of Bass Player magazine, like in like 2012. And in it, they were like, what's one of your dream projects? And I was like, I'd love to record an album all on my own, like Dave Grohl did with the first Foo Fighters album. And I was like, wow, I did it. Like, yeah.
So you just put that out there. You hadn't been thinking.
Yeah, I guess I was like, I always figured it's like I can kind of play everything, so I might as well make an attempt at some point.
Right.
And then I found an amazing producer in Elvis Basquiat, and we did it.
What was the first song you learned on each instrument?
Highway to Hell.
Highway to Hell on the drums?
On drums. Yeah, mm-hmm. My dad taught me like how to, he like laid out magazines on a table and uh-huh. went like, do this with one. This is the snare. And he's like, if you could do your foot in between that snare hit, there you go, you're doing it.
And why is he laying out magazines? He has a drum kit.
Well, that's the thing. He wanted to see that I could do that. And when he did, he was like, yes. And then I got a drum kit for my birthday.
I got you. What about guitar? What's the first song
guitar? I specifically learned guitar when I was 12 for sixth grade because I wanted to play the song my dad penned for me, 316. Mm-hmm. So that was the first song, which isn't a very good first song to learn because it's like a finger picked song.
Right.
So it took me like listening to like System of a Down and looking at like guitar tabs online, like figuring out power chords and stuff. And
that seems nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Tell me about the process of writing songs, because oddly, and this is not true of all artists, I haven't heard a thing from you that I don't love.
That's very kind. Thank you very much.
And the writing songs to me is the magic. I know you have to be a great musician and singer, but the magic to me is the writing.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't write a song, that's kind of the most important.
Right.
Like, you can play everything.
How do you do it?
Usually it starts with like any kind of riff, and I'll just record something on my phone just to kind of keep it there. Because mm-hmm. If you're ever at that point where you're like, I'll remember it, you won't.
Right.
So always in that moment, record it. I'll make like a demo on my laptop just to kind of realize the idea a little bit more. And then when my producer comes into town, go up to the studio, dump it into Pro Tools, connect the tape machine, and then you record the drums, and then you do the bass, and then the guitar, and then vocals, and just kind of replace each part of that demo, and you make the song.
So you said that you had spent your whole life to get ready for Mammoth, the original. Then you had two recording sessions for Mammoth 2. One
yeah.
for the music, one for the vocals. When did you write those songs? You didn't wait until you got in the studio.
No, it was, I think, you know, as a musician, you're kind of always writing.
Yeah.
So some ideas I had written, you know, years ago, and some ideas I wrote right before we got into the studio. There were a couple songs that were written when we were in the studio. And yeah, I was actually really happy with how, because the first album, we recorded it over 3 years in like 10 different sessions, because still that whole thing trying to figure out what it was. And I had a whole Van Halen tour in the middle of that.
Right.
And with this one, it was like, let's try and, you know, let's do it like its own thing all at once. And so recorded all the music in 2 months. And then I went to Europe for 2 months, came back, and then we did a month for vocals. And I'd like a little bit more time. I kind of
that was kind of rushed.
Yeah, it was a little rushed, but considering the quality of the album, I guess I have nothing to complain about because I think this album's better than the first one.
Yeah.
So, but I'd like a little bit more time next time.
Sure. I mean, weren't you in charge of that clock or did the Van Halen?
No, I am not in charge of my clock in any way. You've got one guy over there who's in charge of my clock as well as my manager as well. You know, it's good to be busy.
It is good to be busy. Yeah. You're going to be touring with Metallica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that going to be weird? It's not a step back because it's Metallica, but it is a step back from headlining to opening.
You know, that's not a thing I even focus on. Yeah. I think just playing for anybody in any capacity is a blessing. You know, if people want to hear you play music, that's awesome.
So is that going to be like the biggest place you've played so far?
Probably.
Have you ever been there before?
I've never even been there before.
I mean, the scale of the place, it's shocking.
We just played in Amsterdam. It was opening night of the Metallica tour, and it was just ridiculous. Their stage is this huge donut. Although it was funny, my mom was there, of course, proudest mom ever, and she was talking to James, and my mom was like, "Oh yeah, I was in the donut hole watching the show." And he goes, "It's called the Snake Pit."
That is a much cooler sounding thing.
Snake Pit is a much more cooler name than the donut hole.
Look at donut hole.
Obviously, he was joking, but it was just very funny to see my mom say something so uncool to such a cool dude.
Of course. So I would imagine that the Metallica fans know a lot about you and receive you well instead of like normal opening acts sort of have to go out there and earn their...
I guess we'll see. I mean, being in Amsterdam, and you know, it's kind of like my family's homeland. I think they're pretty welcoming. You know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse and say any show is going to be bad, but I think it's good that this new album is a bit heavier than the first one. There's still heavy stuff on the first album, but I mean, the new song is very thrashy that I think that Metallica fans would really enjoy.
Yeah, so I agree.
It's lucky that worked out.
It's lucky that you did it that way?
Yeah.
You were talking about it seeming like it would be a great vinyl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally... I think that's the prime listening experience because it's 10 songs and it's split 5 and 5. And each side ends with a close to 7-minute song, a kind of epic closer for each half. So,
do you spend a lot of time picking the order of songs are going to be there?
My Uncle Patrick and I, with the first album and this album, we are like the masters of the sequencing and figuring out. It was a lot harder on this time around because we were on tour while we were doing it before. It was just we were at home and had all the time in the world. But I'm really happy with how this one turned out.
This one is Mammoth 2, and it comes out August 4th. We're very excited about that. We've been playing a bunch of stuff here at KLOS.
Thank you.
Are you going to play any of the live songs other than The End of the World live between now and when it comes out in August?
Certainly. I know with the way you release albums now, you release a couple songs before the album drops, and that's going to happen before August 4th. But I believe when we play SoFi, the album will be out, right? So yeah, I'm going to make sure we play every heavy song we can for that crowd, for Metallica's crowd.
Have you run into, and is it a pleasant experience or a weird experience, running into people who don't know your family, don't know your last name?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume that you would.
No, it's super cool. Like, it's funny. Like, people get eaten alive in like my comment sections when somebody's like, I didn't really know Van Halen or I wasn't even a fan of Van Halen, but this is pretty cool. And then it's just like, don't ever say that. Yeah.
Here's a tip. Never put that in the comments.
Just like, why can't people just like things and just, you know, I don't know, whatever.
That's but it has to be super refreshing to have people like you for Wolfgang and not for Van Halen.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, because that's what I'm trying to do with all this. I'm being myself.
Yeah.
You know.
So I imagine, Wolfie, that like for you things have changed. Like a few years ago, you may or may not have been able to walk around in public. I mean, a lot of people knew you, but like your profile has risen so much over the past couple of years that now I'm not so sure that you could walk around and people be leaving you alone. Has your life changed in that regard much?
Not in my daily life in any way, but when we're on tour and like all my bandmates will like have fun walking around the city, I can't do that. I can't do that because then you get kind of swamped by the people who are ready to see the show, which is cool. cool, but it's like, I don't know. I'm kind of a germaphobe, and I,
oh,
I'm,
no.
I'm a very anti.
You're a germaphobe. You should never come to a radio station ever.
I'm sort of a, I don't know, not, I'm just very shy and sort of, you know, anxiety ridden, antisocial. So it's just, it's, attention is weird. I know I'm in the complete wrong business for that.
That's the same thing. I was just having this conversation with my fiance that I feel uncomfortable around people and I'm an introvert with an extrovert job.
Exactly.
So people don't ever expect that from
you. I am supremely introverted.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing, but, you know, it's cool.
You have an extroverted job, which you do well.
Thank you.
Mammoth 2, the album comes out August 4th. And Wolfgang, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate your
time. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, man.
My pleasure.
95.5 KLOS on the California's Rock Station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. And we welcome Michael Schneider to the studio. Hey, Michael.
Rock and roll!
Do I have to call you Brother Mike?
Sure. Yes.
Michael Schneider used to work in radio in Hawaii and went as Brother Mike.
Yes, because I'm the most brudda of the mics. Happy Cinco de Mayo, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, we doing shots?
We're not doing
shots.
I don't know. I haven't seen any shots. Usually I'm responsible for that, so maybe I fell down on the
Very, very disappointed. This is not the Kevin Ryder I knew.
Michael works for Variety. What's your official title?
TV editor.
TV editor.
Yes.
Let's talk strike, because I know that a lot of people have heard of it. But probably don't understand exactly what it is happening.
Yeah, because if you're in the industry, it's the only thing you're talking about right now. It's the only thing happening, and the strike has been going on since late Monday night, but really Tuesday morning, the picketing started, and that's sort of what's consumed the business now, and it's quickly changing. I mean, it's fast-moving, and every day it feels like something different is happening.
What are they striking for? Better pay?
All the above. Better pay, and sort of...
There's only one above. I just said better pay.
I mean, what's above pay? You're right. But acknowledgement that the industry has changed, that the streaming revolution came, and the feeling is that the pay for writers has not stayed pace with how much the industry has changed, including residuals, including just opportunities for writers, and that the middle class of writers especially have been squeezed and are being squeezed out of this business.
So they just want to update the way that they're paid with the actual industry.
It was the way we watch TV has changed, the way TV is really viewed and also counted. You know, there aren't ratings the way there used to be, so we don't really know how these shows perform long term. We don't really get accurate streaming ratings, and there's no back end anymore. There's no syndication the way things used to be, and there aren't as many episodes as there used to be, so there aren't the kind of guarantees that if you write for a TV show that you can earn a living. And so for the high end, for the top tier, yeah, absolutely. It's a great time. They're making a lot of money. But for the mid-range folks, the ones who used to rely on 22 episodes a season, being staffed on a show, there isn't that guarantee anymore. And so there is this generation of writers who just feel really squeezed.
Just feel left out because they're not growing with the industry.
Yeah. And, and that the pay structure hasn't stayed pace with the times.
How is that going to affect me?
Well,
let's talk about what's important.
You personally. Let's just talk about Kevin. Are you still going to get your shoot 'em up shows this fall?
Exactly.
Well, the most immediate thing is you've already seen that the late night talk shows are now off the air because those are the immediate shows that are written every single day. So you're not going to see that. If you were hoping to see Pete Davidson host Saturday Night Live on Saturday night, you're not going to see him do that now. So that's the most immediate. But long term, shows are already shutting down productions, shows that were about to or had just opened their writers' rooms for the fall. Now those rooms are obviously shut down. So long term, a lot of your shows that you were hoping to see come back in the fall or anytime in the near future probably will be pushed back now.
Wow. This might be a stupid question, but they can't.
Kevin, I'm used to those
from
you.
There's no way they can get around it, right? You can't just get together with your buddies and have another season of something ready when the strike is over.
No, that would be frowned upon by the Writers Guild. There were the last writer strike, 2007-2008, there was a question of, well, the day after the strike ends, are we suddenly going to be flooded with a million scripts that were wink, wink, nudge, nudge written right after
that
the strike
day?
Ended?
Right, sure. sure.
So you know, there is that rule that you pens down, you know, paper down. So we'll see what happens after the strike, how long it takes for things to get back going again.
All right. Michael Schneider, brother yeah. Mike.
You okay?
I should just stick with that.
Yes.
Brother Mike is in the studio with us. We're talking about television. You do have some recommendations that we'll get into next.
Yeah, luckily TV is still happening. There are still great shows on the air that you can watch right now.
And we'll talk about that after this. It's Friday, which means in an hour we start playing all of your requests from 5 to 7. Michael Schneider is in the studio with me. He is the TV
editor. There we go. Can I play Freebird? Can you play Freebird?
No. No.
I can't request. I thought it was an all request hour.
It is, but not from you.
Okay.
I'll give you one request as long as it's not Freebird.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about it. So we were talking about the writer strike a minute ago and how it's going to affect us and our TV watching.
Yes.
And how it's affecting the industry. There are some shows that are coming out.
Yeah. Some shows soon. Coming back. Some new shows, actually, to keep an eye on.
And none of these are affected by the strike?
No, because they're already in the can. They're already ready to go.
Okay.
So at least we do have some interesting shows coming up and some returning. Did you watch the other two, the first two seasons?
No.
Do you know about the other two?
I don't know what it is.
It's on HBO Max, and it's actually a great show for our town, for a lot of folks out here who know the industry or who are in the industry. It's kind of a parody, a little bit, of what it's like to work in this town in Hollywood, but your younger brother ends up being the superstar.
Ah.
And you're the two older siblings, and you've been trying for years to make it, and suddenly your younger brother makes it off of a TikTok video.
Right.
And so while they're still struggling, and it's a real funny, ironic show. The writers are from the world of SNL.
Oh, excellent.
And the third season is coming back, and it's really well worth your watch.
The important thing here is how long is an episode?
Half an hour.
Ah, it's so great.
You can binge
now
this.
You can binge and catch up.
It's fantastic. I know you're already watching Queen Charlotte, the new Bridgerton show.
I love it. I love it with all my heart.
Right up your alley.
No, I don't. So, I don't watch that at all.
All right. It's actually, from all accounts, the best of the Bridgertons so far.
Oh,
so
if that's saying something.
If that's your jam, Queen Charlotte is back. So Primo is a new show coming to Amazon Freevee. I think last time I was here, I told you that there was a thing called Freevee.
Freevee.
And you called me a liar.
Yeah.
But
is it
Freevee
happening?
Still exists.
All right.
And Primo is a show from, first Mike Schur, who was the executive producer of Parks and Rec, and mm-hmm. he was on The Office. I mean, he's comic royalty at this point. Smart guy. He's now sort of mentoring the next generation of comedy writers. So there's this writer, Shea Serrano, and this is sort of based on his story growing up as a teenager in San Antonio. So he didn't have a father, but he was raised by his five uncles as well as his mother.
Okay.
And so this show is sort of based on that. It's a slice of life, very comedic show, but the heart of it is these five uncles, all five of whom are very different and who are all trying to raise this teenager who's getting mixed messages from all five of his sort of pseudo dads.
Right.
And a coming of age story and just a fantastic show. So
how do you find Freevee? Is it just go to Amazon?
Yeah, you just
video?
Go to freevee.com, I think. It's free. So hence the Freevee.
Yeah, no, I got that.
There are advertisements. But yeah, you can just go online and find it. And they've actually got some good shows. You know, they did that show Jury Duty. Have you watched Jury Duty?
I haven't, no.
So you and I remember Joe Schmo.
Yes.
Which I think a lot of people don't, because it's basically a new generation of Joe Schmo. But this time out, it's a jury. And this guy, Ronald, is the one person who was a real life person who they put into this ridiculous situation surrounded by actors. And people are really digging this show, especially people who forgot that Joe Schmo existed.
Yeah.
But it's very, if you love Joe Schmo, you'll like Jury Duty. But that's also on Freevee. I don't know why. I'm not paid by Freevee.
It sounds like you are, because
really
you said Freevee about 20 times now.
I'm going to stop saying it now, because
okay.
there's other great shows coming up. I really recommend American Born Chinese on Disney Plus. That's coming on May 24. Michelle Yeoh is in that. Stephanie Hsu has a guest spot. Ki Huy Quan, who just won the Oscar along with Michelle Yeoh, is also in it. It's based on some graphic novels about a teenager who gets sort of stuck in Chinese mythology. But so it takes place in a high school. It's a modern day family, but mm-hmm. then suddenly some historic Chinese mythology sort of enters his life as well. And it's a really, really interesting show, really well done. And that cast, I mean, James Hong, Poppy Liu, Ronnie Chang's in it, Jimmy O Yang. It's fantastic. So you definitely need to really check that out. A show that I don't know if I can recommend, but I think you're going to be interested in is Arnold Schwarzenegger has a show.
Does he?
Do you know this?
No.
He's on a show called FUBAR that's coming to Netflix on May 25. And it's a little bit of a CIA kind of True Lies-ish sort of show.
I've lost my interest in Arnold as an actor. he's not good.
I think maybe he's lost that interest.
Yes,
too.
He has.
But I'm just throwing it out there for you to check out. But the remaining shows that are still on the air, that if you haven't caught up on Yellow Jackets, catch up on Yellow Jackets.
So good.
If you haven't caught up on Succession, that's ending. Catch up on Succession.
So good.
If
as
you
well.
Haven't caught up on Barry, catch up on Barry. That's ending as well. So there's still a lot of TV to enjoy.
I know that you, as the TV editor for Variety, have to stay neutral, but I would like to say that the writers deserve the money, and I'd like for you to call in right now, 818-955-KLOS, and tell me your favorite shows. My favorite show by the writing, if you know what I mean, the writers make it work.
The shows that stand out through their writing.
Yes.
Because there are some amazing TV auteurs.
Yes.
They're not just writers, they're auteurs.
Yes, they are. Mine is West Wing. I love that. I love it, and I love it. And you can tell that a lot of work went into that script because they basically do it verbatim. Right off the page.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny when you talk about writing, in some ways it's so synonymous with TV. You could really just talk about your favorite TV show because
yeah,
it's
true.
All about the writing.
True.
So, and I am a Simpsons homer for the rest of my life, and I meant that. That pun.
Yes.
Because The Simpsons, for 30 years, has been one of the best written shows on television.
That is a miracle.
Yeah, and
that is a miracle.
And they're geniuses, the people who write this show and who have kept it going. And The Simpsons, I would say, in 2023 is fantastic. Just as fantastic as it was in 89. Come at me, bro.
818-955-KLOS. 818-955-KLOS with your favorite show. And let's give a nod to the writers today. Call now. We have Michael Snyder in the studio from Variety. And we were talking about the writer's strike. And I am asking you, what is your favorite TV show so that we can give some credit to those writers? KLOS, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Favorite TV shows, right?
Favorite TV show. Give it a nod to the writers.
Especially the writers.
Yeah.
Hands down, 30 Rock.
30 Rock is and always will be great.
Genius. I Robert Carlock and Tina Fey, of course, and that entire team. Yeah, just genius.
Yeah, exactly.
Genius.
That's a great one.
And I'm not even a huge Alec Baldwin fan, but one of the best characters on TV ever.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, Jack Donaghy. And by the way, plays a network executive pretty authentically.
Yeah, so I've heard. That's awesome.
All right, thank you. That's a great show. Thanks. KLOS, hello.
Hi, Charlene.
Hey, Charlene.
What about Seinfeld?
Seinfeld was a great show.
That's a classic.
Yep.
Of course, Larry David, who is a genius, along with everyone who wrote on that show.
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld was a writer, too.
Yeah. Can't forget Seinfeld, of course.
Yeah,
star
of course.
Writer.
I could watch it over and over and over and over and over again.
Same. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Also, 30 Rock, I do that as well, too. I always go back to it.
Yeah, yeah. And those are shows that happen to be, auteur shows, too, because, the Tina Fey, Jerry Seinfeld, writers, stars, triple threats.
Yep. KLOS, hello.
Yeah, this is Patrick from Camarillo.
Hey, Patrick. Favorite TV show?
No.
All right. Thanks for calling. KLOS, hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Talking about your favorite TV show.
Well, I'll be old school. Kojak.
Kojak.
Oh.
Nice.
Kojak.
That we need to bring that kind of street justice back.
Who loves you, baby?
I never want to hear that again. 818-955-KLOS, your favorite TV shows with the nod to their writers. Michael Snyder is filling in for Sluggo today, and we're talking about TV as he is the TV editor of Variety. He has to stay neutral because he's a reporter, but I would like to see the writers get what they want and need and deserve. And so we're asking for your favorite TV shows. So that we can give the writers some love. What's yours?
Yeah, The Leftovers on HBO.
Yes, Damon Lindelof. By the way, he's got a new show, Mrs. Davis, on Peacock right now. It's wild. If you like The Leftovers, I think you'll like Mrs. Davis, too.
Excellent. Thank you for calling.
All right, I'll have to check that out. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. KLOS, hello.
Hello, my favorite show.
Favorite TV show is the question.
Yes. The Blacklist.
The Blacklist.
And New Amsterdam. Yeah,
you,
The Blacklist.
You are the only other person besides myself that I've ever talked to that watches The Blacklist.
Oh, my God. I want him to rescue me.
My parents still watch The Blacklist.
Do they? Yes. Okay, great. Thank you for that.
I think I just offended you.
You did. KLOS, hello.
I got Metalocalypse. I think Brennan Small writes for it.
Oh, that's hardcore. Metalocalypse. I can't even say it. Metalocalypse.
Where is that? Where is that show?
It's on Adult Swim.
Ah, Adult Swim.
Yeah, there's a lot of great Adult Swim shows.
Yep. KLOS, hello.
Bring back Miami Vice.
I loved Miami Vice so much because of the way they used music. I thought it was really unique at the time.
Yeah, MTV Cops.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? The girls in college hated the show because all the guys on Friday night were getting, you know what, and watching the show instead of dating them.
Well, that seems like a personal problem, but yeah. I will agree with you on that show.
You know what? I don't know what. I'm too naive, Kevin. I just
doing
I don't
you know.
Know
what? KLOS, hello.
I Spy, Bill Cosby, Robert Culp.
Yeah, it's hard to give Bill Cosby any credit for anything these days.
I know what you mean, yeah. But...
No, I hear you. Thank you for calling. KLOS, hello.
Is it KLOS?
It is.
KLOS.
Oh, I was calling about the TV show, I think Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men.
Chuck Lorre. Yeah. I mean, that is a, he's a factory. All those sitcom
he puts them
hits.
All out, doesn't he?
Big Bang Theory. Bob Hart's Abishola is one of his newer ones. But, yeah, that man, he's single-handedly keeping the sitcom alive.
He knows what he's doing. KLOS, hello.
Your favorite TV show? The Honeymooners.
We just keep going back further and further.
We do. KLOS, hello.
Hey, what's up?
Talking about your favorite TV shows.
Married with Children, hands down, man.
Married with Children. You still watch that?
Yeah, the reruns. I mean, there's nothing new.
No, I know. I know they're not still doing it, but...
He's saying TV just stopped after Married with Children.
Gotcha.
It just didn't get any better after that. By the way, that was a great show at the time.
It was a great show at the time. Agreed.
Rad.
Yep. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. 818-955-KLOS, your favorite TV show. Michael Snyder is joining me. He is the TV editor for Variety, and we've been talking about the writer's strike and your favorite TV shows. And people are coming up with some really great TV shows that are their favorite. And the writers have a big, big part in that. So we just want to give a nod to the writers. KLOS, your favorite TV show?
I've got a bunch.
Right.
I got The Goldbergs.
Yes.
Yeah. Love. Just ended after a long run.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Modern Family.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then a little bit further back is How I Met Your Mother with Bob Saget doing the narrating. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then even before that, Arrested Development.
Oh, I love Arrested Development so much.
You listed a great group of recent shows from this century. Fantastic.
We can't mock you in any way.
No.
Okay. What about two cartoons? I got Family Guy. I love that. Oh, my God.
Family Guy, agreed.
And then South Park.
South Park,
right.
Agreed.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. That's a perfect phone call.
Yeah,
thank you. KLOS, hello.
Hey, how you goobers doing?
We're doing well for goobers. We're talking your favorite TV shows.
Hey, this is Dilbert, man.
I know it's Dilbert.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, no, Dilbert with the D.
Right. Dilbert. Got it. What's your favorite TV show?
Mr. Rogers. I've always watched it. I still watch it on YouTube.
You still watch it on YouTube. How many times a week do you watch Mr. Rogers?
Every morning. It lifts me up. It gives me a... like a power to be alive.
That's Mr. McFeely doing that. We're going into a dark place now.
Thank you for calling.
Let's get Friday going.
All right.
AC/DC.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It is Kevin and Sligo in the afternoon in our old request fest. Jeremy from Santa Ana wanted to hear some Cult. Here you go on 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. That is Aaron Jones, a new song called Blood in the Water on the All Request Fest on KLOS. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. I love that song, Faith No More. The song is epic, and it's for Linda in Glendale. It's our All Request Fest, 818-955 KLOS, with your request, or you can find us on Twitter at Kevin and Sluggo. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo. In the afternoon, it is our old request fest, so we're playing songs by request. You can call 818-955-KLOS or on Twitter, it's Kevin and Slugs.
Hey, how about some Alice Cooper?
Kevin, can we do some Alice Cooper?
No. I mean, yes. Yes.
It's the KLOS All Request Fest. Derek and the Dominoes, very happy to play this. Who's this for?
I have no idea. Sorry.
It's the KLOS All Request Fest. Derek and the Dominoes, very happy to play this. Who's this for?
I have no idea. Sorry.